We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so Ryan Roberts is here. We are ready to rock and roll. And is it me, Ryan? I mean, May's a busy recruiting month. Does it seem like it's like this staff is even out there pounding the pavement across the country even more than usual this year than maybe the last couple of years?
I mean, they're definitely making the rounds. There's no question, right? It's such a weird time of year, though. I know we were talking about this a little bit beforehand, but it's like, you know, you had the blue gold game and you have guys visiting campus nonstop. And then in June, you're going to get the official visitor frenzy of kids coming to visit Notre Dame for the 2025 class. But like May is a lot of just evaluation period, right? Like it's a spring evaluation period. Coaches are out and there's going to be an offer here extended and an offer there extended. But like for the most part, it's a little tough to come up with content consistently, man. If we're being honest, like it's not the easiest thing in the world. So got to get a little creative this time of year. But I hope, Sean, I hope people are still getting a lot of great content from Irish Breakdown. I feel like we're still putting out great content. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, but the staff is scattered all over the country right now. You know, Vince was saying a couple of weeks ago that there was a school that came up to Penn, you know, where he works, and did like they put together a morning workout kind of thing for the potential guys, you know, who might be recruitable and stuff like that. Does the Notre Dame staff do that when they go out? Do they put on like workouts like that at a school or?
Well, every so often there are schools that have kind of their, I forget what they call it. They don't call it a camp, but like it's like a workout exclusive thing where they
a combine a lot of kind teams. Of deal.
Sort of something like that. So they usually have a bunch of programs that come out at like the same time to come watch these demos of like players working out and on the field and that type of thing. A big part of this evaluation period, because obviously communication is very limited because they're mostly talking about the 2026 and 2027 guys. Of course, they're still visiting 2025s, but like for the most part, there's a lot of 2026 kids that are in contact right now,
sure.
But they can't talk to, they can't reach out to schools first on phone calls and such until their junior year starts. Right. So like right. They're still in like that weird window. So now what happens is coaches can come, they can watch them. It's kind of creepy, honestly, when we think about it, it's really very, very creepy because they're not allowed to talk to these players in person. So they talk to the coaches, they talk to the you know, the principals and like the members of the school as far as like the hierarchy, and then they'll watch the workouts is like a big thing. So like I was just talking to I've talked to so many kids. Which kid said this? It was probably out on Irish Breakdown pretty recently. I'm honestly trying to remember who said this, but there was a kid. Oh, it was Rodney Dunham, who is a defensive lineman out of North Carolina, 2026 kid. So Al Washington was out there and Al Golden was out there as well. And they watched him work out, right? Like, so they watched him work out. I think they may have even saw him play baseball for a little bit because he's a big time baseball player. So like, yeah, seeing these kids in person working out on the field, it's a big part of this evaluation process because you want to see how a kid's developing physically, how they look on the field, all that kind of stuff goes into the evaluation process, obviously.
Okay. So looking at this 25 class, I think, is it 20 commits they're at right now? Does that sound right?
20 today. 20 today, yes, sir.
20 commits. So yep. With that many, we decided we're going to talk a little bit about some of the high priority that, you know, yes, that Notre Dame has to sort of finish off this class, to fill it out. So is there, let's start with this. What is there a player or position group you would put at the top of that sort of must-have list?
Well, Sean, if anybody had tuned into my recruiting hour show on Monday, I had a long talk about 2025 wide receiver recruiting and a little bit of anxiousness I have in that group right now because you have three committed right now, but it's still one of those situations where you have three, I think, quality depth pieces that are already committed in the class, but you don't really have a headliner right now, right? Like, you don't have that headliner. So seeing how Notre Dame finishes off this wide receiver group, there's obviously they're going to get to four wide receivers. There's a chance that they could get to five if it is the right combination of the last two that they want. So I am very anxious to see wide receiver recruiting, how it ends, because right now, if Notre Dame ended, and again, this is all due respect, so I'm going to be as respectful as possible, Sean Terry, gadget player committed in the class that I like. I think he's a really good space player. Not a high volume guy, though. Jerome Bettis Jr., we know that situation, right? Obviously, father's alumni. He's got a big body, big frame, but like, what's the upside with him? And then Elijah Burris is another guy, kid that's a little bit of a boomer bust gamble, you know, as far as being coming from an NFL family and all that type of stuff, right? But so if at end of today, that would be a very underwhelming wide receiver class, in my opinion. Very underwhelming. It has a chance to change very quickly because there's a couple guys that are on the board that you're like, okay, if they get that guy and that guy, then I feel good about wide receiver recruiting in 2025. But the finish is going to determine how good we feel about this offensive class in general, because you have a big time talented quarterback. You have two very solid running backs committed, and you have a good three man offensive line class and a really good tight end in James Flanagan, the obviously the son of Jim Flanagan, former Notre Dame player. It has a chance to be a good offensive class, but it really hinders on the finish at wide receiver. That's where my anxiousness comes with this class.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it, 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So where does Derek Meadows fit into all that then, do you think?
He is, and I talked about this on the show, he is in a weird situation because Notre Dame was the perceived one of the top two for him for a long time. It was Washington. It was Notre Dame. When Kalen DeBoer left Washington for Alabama, that would made you assume, and I think that you could safely say this, was that Notre Dame was probably the front runner. But front runner in the sense of there was no rush and Derek Meadows was still wanted to let the recruiting process play out. Then he goes to Battle Miami down in obviously in the state of Florida and he balls out. And then who comes, Sean? All the SEC schools. Here comes Alabama. Here comes Tennessee. Here comes Georgia. Here comes all these dudes, right? All these great programs. And now you and because Notre Dame is still one of the leaders for Derek Meadows and they have an official visit with him and he visited campus a couple weeks ago, but you are now battling Alabama, who, by the way, has Kalen DeBoer, who I just talked about, Washington, had a nice little insight into that one. Georgia, Tennessee, some of these big-time programs that have done, like, let's be honest, they've done a better job of developing wide receivers than Notre Dame has, just flat out, right? So there is a battle that needs to ensue down the stretch, but I consider him a must-get. And it's not a traditional must-get as far as day one, Derek Meadows is a stud in 2025, the second he's on campus. He very well could be, but it is a must skip because of the wide receiver board currently. There is one player that I would say if he hits and he's developed properly, could be a superstar, like legitimate superstar. That's Derek Meadows. Wow. And a kid that you've been in close contact with in a good spot with for a long time, you got to be able to win that one. I have my doubts and I put my doubts out there on the Recruiting Hour show on Monday, but you, for me, have to get Derek Meadows. He is a boomer bust player. There's no doubt, but I can't teach being 6'5 or 6'6.
Right.
I can't teach running 4'5 flat at that size. I can't teach the jumping ability he has. I can't teach anything that he has that is God given. So you need to close in Derek Meadows because he has the best chance or the most reasonable chance of becoming a superstar, in my opinion, on the college level.
So then if I look, kind of at the rest of what's out there, a big time stud linebacker kind of feels like a priority. I know that there are a few of them that Notre Dame is in on right now.
I mean, it's an impressive list. There's no doubt. So like, as you currently stand today, Notre Dame has two linebacker commits in the class, Hawaii linebacker, Josiah Kia, who of course, Notre Dame fans know because Kahanu Kia is on the football team and what do you have? 12 tackles during the Blue Gold game. Yeah. Like he was fantastic. Yep. Right. So you have Josiah Kia in the class. You have Anthony Sacca, who's St. Joe's here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Tony Sacca, former Penn State quarterback, is his father. I really like Anthony Sacca a lot, but you have put yourself in a position. Notre Dame passed on a couple really talented linebackers, in my opinion, really talented linebackers. They passed on Antoine Delorier. They stopped recruiting Christian Jones out of Omaha West Side in Nebraska because they said, this small linebacker board is the players that we want, and we are going to focus there. There is one to two spots potentially open at linebacker, and you are going for some absolute, potentially elite recruits in this class. I mean, Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng has a claim as potentially the best linebacker in this class. Noah McHale out of California has a chance. And by the way, Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng, pretty famous Notre Dame brother for people that don't know out there, right? So
J-O-K.
You obviously have that. Noah McHale, California linebacker, who is one of the best linebackers in the 2025 class, excuse me, again. You also are in a decent spot, or good spot, I would say, with Madden Ferriamo, who's another California linebacker. And then they're also recruiting Gavin Nix out of IMG Academy as well, the same school as Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng, which is obviously a great program as far as putting out next level talent. It's a vocational school for future NFL football players, basically. Mm-hmm. That's basically what IMG is.
Right.
So you have, that's an elite group, man. I mean, Gavin Nix is probably the worst of the forward. He's a good player. I mean, he is a top 100 player by a couple different platforms, right? So you have put yourself in a position where you are picking from a very small linebacker board. That doesn't mean that it won't end up being great, but you know what that means? You have less shots there, right? Like, there's not mm-hmm. a lot of guys to pick from.
Right.
So if you passed on Antoine Delorier and you decided to not recruit Christian Jones anymore, who's a very good linebacker in his own right, that tells me that you think that you're going to get one to two of that elite group, and Notre Dame needs to land at least one of them for me to feel good about the linebacker recruiting, because I feel solid to good right now. I think it's a good two-man class as we stand today. It has a chance, though, to be very good if you land at least one of those guys.
I'm curious about Josiah Kia. Do you know if he's going to end up going on a mission like Kahanu did, or like where that stands?
So when we had him on the podcast, he was undecided at that point. So I think the plan is, if he does, I think it's going to be similar to Kahanu in the sense of, let's go to school 1 year, let's get our legs on campus, and then maybe take one down the road. So I don't think there's anything that's been overly decided on that fact, but I think it would be a similar process to his older brother if he does choose to do that.
Yeah, because I mean, it just feels like it's even more of a priority if he does end up going, because you're going to lose a guy for a couple of years.
Exactly. Yeah. And Sean, I've always talked about this. When you have a strength, you need to keep a strength of strength, right? And Notre Dame has recruited linebacker as well as just about any program in the country the last few years. I mean, you can look back at the 2023 class, obviously, of Drake Bowen and Preston Zinter and Jaden Osbury. You can look at 2024. You got a guy like Kingston Viliamuasa. You need to continue that. I mean, you could even go a little bit further back and go to the Joshua Burnham, you know, class, Jalen Snead class in 2022. So they've been recruiting linebacker at a high level. And Notre Dame needs to keep that a strength. Keep that a strength overall, right? So I think keeping a strength is a very positive thing. And then also the other side of it, which is not a pleasant conversation for Notre Dame fans, is Notre Dame has plucked a couple linebackers and played them at Viper over the last few years, right? So your Viper recruiting doesn't get any better either, which I have major question marks about, maybe a Madden Ferriamo ends up being your Viper in a class when all is said and done, right? So I think that you need to continue to recruit that position well, because you have, and I think you need to keep a strength of strength at the end of the day.
Sure. I believe they've got a pretty fair amount of guys in the secondary committed for the 2025 class, but do they still need to kind of solidify that hole there?
Oh, they do. They do, because if it ended today and you had a four-man class of Dallas Golden and Creed Thomas at corner and Ivan Taylor and Ethan Long at safety, that's a really good class, in my opinion, right? Really good class. But we know, what is Notre Dame potentially looking for right now in the portal? It's a corner, because that depth chart's now getting a little bit thinner, right? A little bit thinner. It'll get a little bump when Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore get here on campus soon. But you have to anticipate, after the 2024 season, Benjamin Morrison might be off to the NFL at that point. Chance Tucker, we'll see what his future is. Is there another defection at some point? Like, who knows? In the transfer portal era. So corner spot, you need to continue to add good depth there. And then safety has been one that Notre Dame needs to get good, strong, talented bodies in that room, because it is one that was lacking in consistent recruiting for a couple years. Right. And so I think that just the depth of those rooms is very important. And also, Sean, you have a chance to be a very good room, or you have a chance to be an elite room, right? Like, the difference, we always talk about gap closing and gap erasers and all that type of stuff. You know what would erase a gap? If you're able to close on a Mark Zachary out of Ben Davis, who you are in a very good position with if you're Notre Dame, an in-state kid in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Right.
Also, Jadon Blair, who's out of Mount Tabor in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 6'4", 190-plus-pound safety, who is, in my opinion, a top 50 player and an elite-level football player in the 2025 class. So you have a chance to make a major strength and elite-level group, right? So we keep talking about it. It could be the best secondary class Notre Dame has had in 20 years, 30 years. I don't know. It has a chance to be a historical recruiting class in the secondary, though. You need to finish it off. If you get Mark Zachary, I think it's an elite level secondary group. If you get Jadon Blair as well, then that is like, that's, the best secondary in high school recruiting, in my opinion, in the 2025 class from top to bottom. Because then you have six guys that are just like, the worst guy of that group is a four-star top 250 type of kid, right? So like that is fantastic. And then if the staff is able to talk themselves into getting a fourth corner in the class, then you're talking about silliness, right? Like it's silly at that point. So continuing that trend, obviously the secondary recruiting, what Mike Mickens has done, but then also turning a very good to great group into an elite group, that's on the table for secondary recruiting the rest of 2025.
What about defensive line? Like
major question mark, right? Yeah. It's a major question mark because as of today, you have what I think is a solid to good class, right? You got Christopher Burgess as a Illinois kid. He's out of Simeon in Chicago, who's very talented. They have Joseph Reef in the class. They have Davion Dixon in the class. They also have Dominic Hulak, who can play some Viper, although he's a hybrid player, and that's kind of what he's been recruited as. So, like, there's a lot to like there. There's a good amount to like there. But, Sean, like, they missed on a couple guys. Let's call it what it is, right? I mean, like, you missed on Damian Shanklin, who's an in-state kid in the city of Indianapolis. Like, you missed on that kid. You also were late to the party with Javion Campbell, who is a fast riser and probably going to go to the SEC somewhere out of the state of Kentucky. You also moved on from CJ May, the 2025 Alabama pass rusher, to make room potentially for another defensive lineman that I think you weren't able to close on, right? So defensive line recruiting in 2025 has been a mystery, raveled in a riddle, and it's just been it's been funky, man. Like, I don't know a better way to put it. Like, it's just been weird. It's been a weird process. So I'm curious to see. We saw like Jalen Wiggins, who's the defensive lineman out of Florida that has been committed to the University of Florida since January, offered by Notre Dame recently. He has a official visit scheduled to Stanford. So like clearly academics mean something to him. So can we get him to South Bend, Indiana? Who knows? I'm just curious to see if there's more plans in the fold. Because like this time 2 years ago, who the heck was Armel Mookum? Never heard of that guy before. Right. Like you never knew about him, right? And then last year, not until like September, did we know the name Nnamdi Okboko, who they almost flipped from Georgia. At least they were in the running to flip from Georgia. He ended up sticking with Georgia. But regardless, this recruiting staff under Chad Bowden has shown that they are willing to evaluate and find players later. Even Brandon Hillman a couple years ago, I know it didn't work out with admissions after he signed, but he was still a guy that they found later in the process. So defensive line recruiting, I'm just very curious to see how this staff handles it. We're in the evaluation period right now. So I'm hopeful that they're going to be out looking, continuing to keep their eyes open and developing those relationships, because who knows who you can potentially flip down the road or in the end of this thing.
Yep. Still time. Still quite a bit of time.
A lot of time, man. I mean, what are we in May right now? I don't even know what month it is anymore. We're in the month of May and we're still like, what, 6 months away from National Signing Day? Like a lot can happen from now until then, man. It's going to be wild.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, I just saw, Ryan, that you had some intel that you put up on the Champions Lounge. So people can always go there and check that out. A lot of different detail about where some of the coaches are specifically and who they're seeing and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Oh, man, they've been out to see a lot of great football players, man. A lot of great ones. I have a couple updates that have been on Irish Breakdown and on the message board as well. Thomas Davis Jr., who I know a lot of NFL fans know Thomas Davis Sr. is a pretty dang good football player himself, right? So they've been out to see him. They've been out to the state of Florida. They've been visiting a couple IMG kids over the last week and a half. So, you know, guys like Zach Fortz is a player that I have a little bit of an update on as well. I mean, they're rocking and rolling, man. Javion Mallory is a kid out of a running back out of the state of Florida. All these kids are 2026 kids that I'm talking about, by the way. So they've been out and about, man. So, yeah, boards@irishbreakdown.com for anybody that wants the latest recruiting and team intel as we continue to get it throughout the rest of the year. This is going to be a exciting and very busy few months, to say the least. And June is coming. So, man, if anybody wants an early birthday present or a birthday present in general, like get the message board now, because June for official visitors is going to be hectic, my friend.
It's going to be nuts.
Very hectic. That's yes. Right.
Okay, I got a question I'm going to ask you. Sure. I'm going to ask Jesse this as well when he comes on here in a minute. So I bought something on eBay. It's been nearly 2 weeks.
People still use eBay. That's
they do.
Okay.
They do. Okay. I don't use it a lot, but I was searching for something specific.
Okay.
Found it. Made a couple purchases.
Do you still have to bid on eBay? Is that still a thing?
You still have to bid some. Like some stuff okay. you bid on, some stuff, okay. you know, you can do the buy it now, or okay. like you can make a counter offer, all those different okay. kind of things. So okay. yeah. it's been nearly 2 weeks though, and the guy still hasn't shipped it.
Yes.
So my question is,
yep.
how long do I wait before canceling the order and just saying, give me my money back?
Oh man, that's a loaded question. So, I mean, the answer is probably 3 days ago, I guess is probably the answer.
I've been holding on because I want this thing.
My wife would have canceled about a week ago. I would just probably never cancel and just hope it comes eventually, to be yeah. honest. Like okay. I'll just let it go. But I think that's like a gender dynamic though. I mean, I don't want to be like that gender stereotype dude, but like, I feel like most guys would just kind of let it ride and figure it out. When it comes, you know. My wife would not be in this similar boat or that similar framework, though. Absolutely would not be.
Yeah. See, I ordered it, and then a few days went by, and the guy messaged me, and he said, "Hey, I'm actually away. I'm on vacation. I'm driving home, but okay. I'll get it. I'll have it shipped by basically." He said last Tuesday or Wednesday.
Ooh. And where does he live? Do you know where he lives?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Okay.
Got it.
But haven't heard from him since. I messaged him at the end of last week saying, "Hey, any update? What's going on here?" And he has ghosted me. Essentially.
I think this is your fault, Sean, to be honest with you. I honestly didn't know people still used eBay, man. This is news to me in the year 2024.
I've ordered two other things. I hadn't done anything on eBay in a long time, but I ordered my when the draft came up.
Uh-huh.
Kyle Brandt on the NFL Network was wearing this really sharp throwback Detroit Tigers, like shiny starter jacket.
Okay.
And so I got a Jones for the starter jacket. I found the Dallas Cowboys starter jacket. The Dallas Cowboys starter jacket has made its way here from Allen, Texas. So I've got that. Something else, a couple other things, actually. There's a couple photos that I've ordered. They have shown up.
Okay.
In, you know, prompt time, but it's actually another jacket that mm-hmm. I ordered that has not made it here. And I really want this jacket as well, but it's starting to annoy me that we're going on, you know, again, it was like right around NFL draft. So we're going on 2 weeks into this week.
Was Amazon not an option? Was that not on the table here?
No, because not the starter jackets, because they're
not stocked anymore. They're old school. A throwback. So yeah, you got to get it directly from someone.
Yeah, exactly.
I got you. Let it ride, man. If it's something you really want, what is awaits?
Okay.
Right. I mean, wait for the rest of your life for that jacket. Yeah. Well, who knows?
It's kind of annoying though, that he reached out to me telling me, you know, like he overpromised.
Yeah.
And now he is under delivering.
Hopefully he's okay. So, hope he didn't die or something. That would be very sad. Dude,
he was in some tragic accident driving back to, you know, wherever from Florida. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Someone calls you. It's like, "Hey man, the owner of that died. So I don't know if you're going to get it." You'd be like, "Oh, what's his address? I'll go get it. I'll go grab it right now from him."
All right. I'll see if Jesse is as patient as you here when he comes on here.
Well, I don't think I'm patient. I'm just forgetful. Right. So I would honestly forget that I bought the jacket, and one day it'd be like, "Oh wow,
that's fair.
Finally came here." Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like bonus. Oh, I forgot I ordered that 6 months ago.
It's a great surprise. If anything, it's a great surprise.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Ryan. Good to talk to you as always. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, sir.
All right. Jesse's coming in right now. We're going to do a little bit of rapid fire.